let's rook and roll.
Let's rook and roll.
Rook and roll.
So Yuri, you got a dog.
Yeah. Talk about my week. First of all, actually, welcome to AVDP episode 17. Mm. Right?
We're still going.
Almost 20.
Almost 20. That's a lot of episodes.
Almost 21. Almost old enough to drink legally in the United States.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. When it's 21 podcasts, we got to take a big drink for
Gotta get real, real drunk. Maybe a throwback drunk one.
A throwback drunk podcast.
So yeah, so I got a dog. So I had a big week. Been wanting to get a dog forever. I love dogs. I'm a big dog person. And I kind of been waiting until my situation stabilized a little bit. You know, after the bar, I got a job, look in a good position. And now was the time. We found a great dog online from a rescue. And we decided this is the one. We put our application. By the way, if you've never gotten a dog through like a foster rescue type program, it's a process. Like, you don't just go like, I want that dog and get that dog. You've got to throw an application in. They've got to do a home visit to decide that you're a good fit. Then if the dog's with a foster, you've got to actually meet with the foster and the dog. And the foster has to, like, okay you and be like, okay, these people seem like they're good and the dog likes them. And only then, if you're not one of the other people who have, like, in competition for the dog, do you get it. So we luckily, there was nobody else in line. I guess there was one other person, but they failed their home visit, which is messed up.
How do you fail a home visit?
I don't know. You have like a bunch of other dogs and you're just a scumbag. And
I guess if you have a lot of other animals.
Yeah, or maybe you're like a hoarder. I don't know. So I don't know what the situation was, but basically they failed and we got him. And I love him. He's a little guy. He's some kind of little terrier mix. I'll have him on the show sometime. We'll bring him over.
We'll bring him in. I'll put him up.
Yeah.
Like Simba.
Yeah. He's a little black terrier mix of some kind, but he looks like, I don't know. He could be like four different types of dogs. He looks like he's got a little corgi in him, a little maybe chihuahua part. Like, I don't know. You know, like, in certain angles, he almost looks like his face is like a German Shepherd, but like a shrunk-down version of it.
Hmm.
So, I can't tell you, but he's really sweet. He's 4 months old. We were lucky that he was pretty well-trained by the foster. I mean, he's crate-trained already. He's almost fully potty-trained. He doesn't really pee in the house. He's had, like, two accidents, but mostly he goes outside with us and walks. Doesn't bark. Playful. Plays fetch. Plays tug-of-war. Really good. Really smart. And he likes to cuddle up and sleep with you on the couch while you're watching stuff. He's a perfect dog. I'm just really jacked to have one. I'm really jacked to have a buddy. And his name's Loki. His name's Loki. It was originally, that's the name the foster had, or the rescue, whatever. But it was spelled L-O-K-E-Y. And we said, that's really dumb. And we changed it to L-O-K-I.
How does he feel about that?
I think he likes it. You know, once we had him sign the certificate to have his name officially changed, he seemed pretty cool with it. Put his little paw print down in some ink and then stamped it on the certificate.
You should do that. You see, we have that on our wall.
Oh, yeah, that's cute. I don't know if it'll get any bigger, though, is the problem.
Well, it's just about, like, you get his paw print and a date. And just,
I like
you know,
that.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, we took our pets and we got some black ink or paint and just dipped their paws in it and then put that on, like, a piece of paper and then cut that out and framed it.
So yeah, like special dog safe type stuff. But yeah, I like that. That's really cute.
It wasn't dog safe. We just got black paint.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's all dog safe.
I don't know. Maybe. We just washed. I mean, we was outside.
Yeah.
But we have a little cat and a dog, and we had the little paw prints on the wall. It's really cute.
I should talk to Chloe. We should do it.
Yeah, it's a cute thing.
Yeah. So I'm really happy. But that's part of that is I haven't really had a lot of time to throw a lot of topics on. So luckily, Krasny's been kind of hitting the topics.
I've been busy.
Yeah.
I've been busy.
Because I've just been playing with my pup. Playing with my pup and working all week.
I want to move this up, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about this first as part of how my week has been.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about one thing that just kind of popped in my head. At work, there's an Indian place called Darbar we go to all the time.
Darbar.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like it a lot. I mean, I've nothing bad to say about the place. I love it. I go there all the time. They have this mushroom masala that I get. They have this palak paneer.
I love palak paneer. I was just going to say that.
Love the paneer. I have been trying everything there. They have like chickpea dishes.
Is it a buffet?
No, this is a straight menu.
Indian buffets rock my world, but I feel so disgusting when I leave.
Yeah?
I'm just so full.
Because you eat so much shit. Yeah, I love it. It's off the menu. It's very cheap. But this time I was with my friends, and there was this, we want to get an appetizer. So my friend's like, I'm going to get this thing called Indian pickle. That's what it's called, Indian pickle. I'm like, okay, well, it's like Indian vegetables pickled in some kind of a pickle, right? No big deal. Pickle, sure. So we ordered it, and it's like peppers, think not just hot peppers, but like some kind of pepper.
Pepper?
And then beets and carrots.
Okay.
Cut into strips in a dish. Covered in like this weird gravy.
It almost sounds like something Russian.
Yeah.
But I have to see it. I don't know.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It has sesame seeds sprinkled on top. I smelled it and it was just dreadful. It was a smell like so much like the most spices ever in the world mixed together. Like this really intense nostril filling, like smell. It was intense. And then my friend, a designer that I work with, he just took one of the peppers and just pops it into his mouth like it's no big deal and starts chewing it. And he's immediately in agony. And his eyes are watering. He's like
spicy?
Oh, God.
Or gross?
It's gross. And then he was, like, really suffering through this, like, one pepper he ate. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I cut, like, took a carrot. I cut a little piece off with a fork, and I bit it, all right? Okay, look. First off, definitely licorice in there. Okay? Nobody likes fucking licorice.
What a weird flavor. Are you sure? Like, Sambuca?
I'm sure, because I asked him. And the waiter told me, yes, that is in there. Because I'm like, that is fucking licorice! On top of, like, pickle. Like, it's, you know, it's dill and garlic and onion. Licorice. And then, now this is one that's weirder. Tamarind. Now, this is a South American, I think. They have tamarind candy down in South America, which is, like, licorice here. Mm-hmm. And then, by that, I mean, it tastes like shit. Nobody likes it. It's called tamarind. Some kind of a weird, like, citrus fruit that just is bitter as fuck and sucks.
Why is this a traditional dish? Why do they put it all together?
I have no clue. So basically, it's like, let's take all the worst flavors on the planet and pickle vegetables in it and call that something and serve it on a menu. It was horrible.
That sounds real filthy.
And then we have this Indian guy at work, a legitimate Indian guy who's like from India. He's got the accent and everything. And he says, hey, we went to this place to get this Indian pickle, and he just starts shaking his head like he knows what we're talking about. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? He goes, it's very bad.
Very bad.
I'm like, yeah, no shit, it's bad. Why do they keep that on the menu? He's like, I don't know. Some people...
Let me ask you real quick. You just tried to do an Indian accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was Russian as fuck. Do you have this problem too? Because whenever I try to do an accent that isn't Russian, it just turns out Russian.
Mm.
It's the only accent I can do.
I guess I do have that.
I have that problem real bad.
I was trying to be like more like Apu from The Simpsons.
Yeah,
I failed,
man,
with that too.
You had a real...
It is very bad.
Well, that's better. That's okay. A little better.
Yeah. That's not what he sounds like, though. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you ever run into Indian pickle in a menu, just save yourself. Mm-hmm. Just stick with the chicken masala, boys and girls.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Because...
It's not pickles.
I don't know if it's something I tried.
No, it's...
Did I tell you we marinated our own pickle? Well, not marinated, but we threw some red pepper in with some pickles we bought.
Okay.
And just left them there for a couple weeks shut. And opened them today and tried one.
Like red bell pepper?
No, like red pepper flakes, like the stuff you put on pizza.
Oh, so you spiced it up a little
Yeah,
bit.
Delicious.
You spiced up your pickles?
Spiced up my pickles. Just threw it in there, shut the lid, left it for like 2 weeks, and started eating them now. Really good. Pimped it up, pimped my flavor.
You know, my parents are always making those pickled tomatoes.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
I want to learn how to make those myself.
I literally think you just throw tomatoes into a jar of like... stuff.
My mom is always trying to make me think that it's way more harder than that.
I feel like that's something your mom would do.
She would do that so I can't know the secret. Yeah. I have to come over there.
Yep.
She says you got to buy special pickles, tomatoes, mm-hmm. and you got to go to the market and buy them special or whatever. I don't know. But pickled tomatoes, if you don't know what that's about, it's a Russian thing? Pickled tomatoes are money.
I don't think it's necessarily a Russian thing.
I've never seen it anywhere.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
When it's a Russian thing. But people don't know about that.
Did we talk about your mom re-gifting your hat?
Let's talk about that.
Last week?
No, we did not.
That was great.
We should. We didn't talk about that.
I don't think we did.
So listen to this. All right, my mom, she's a special person. Last Christmas, I gave my mom this really adorable hat. I'll flash a picture of it.
You posted on Instagram the other day, I think.
Yeah, I have the very similar hat. I got my mom and my dad matching animal hats. So like these really adorable hats that are like monsters on your head.
With like braids coming down.
Yeah, and they're really warm and nice. And I got it from my parents. And then Yuri is having dinner with my mom and me, last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom just decides she's going to give Yuri a present.
But the way she did it was so funny. She goes, oh, did you see this gift Alex bought me last year for Christmas? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. She's like, oh, let me show you. So she goes, you know, she opens the closet and she's like, oh, look, it's so cute. And I'm like, yeah, it's really nice. She's like, try it on. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, she's like, you look good. Why don't you keep it? And I'm like, why? No, I can't keep it.
Like right in front of me.
Yeah, like right, not even trying to hide it.
Like I just, mom, I gave you that for Christmas.
It's a gift.
You're going to give it to Yuri in front of me right now.
And then she turns the tables and you'd be like, I didn't realize you were so selfish you wouldn't give your friend a gift.
I was like, I got Yuri's own gift. What the hell?
Yeah, like you don't need
God, mom.
To re-gift your Christmas gift right
and then
in front
2 year,
of you.
And then 2 years ago, I'm like, what does my mom want for Christmas? All she does is watch TV.
Yeah.
And cook.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get anything to cook with because she's already got the best shit to cook with.
Can you even get anything for TV? She only watches Russian TV.
Well, right. So I got her an electric blanket.
Oh.
Because she could be warm in the winter watching TV, mm-hmm. right? That's a great, thoughtful gift.
She seems like she got fireplaces and stuff in there.
I gave it to her.
Mm-hmm.
She looks at it and says, can you return it? Can you return it? I was like, what the hell? He goes, maybe you want it. I'm like, I don't want it. I got it for you.
Your mom doesn't get it.
Maybe you want it. If I wanted it, I'd buy it for myself.
What was wrong with it?
She doesn't need an extra blanket. What would she do with it? What do you do with it? You go under it, and it's warm.
Your parents are so hard to buy stuff for, I bet, because they just buy everything they want.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and they don't appreciate anything that like they wouldn't think to need.
No, is it your family the same? In America, that would like there's no American parent who would ever like if they would hate the gift.
Yeah,
they would go, oh, thank you so much. It's very thoughtful. It's an American thing, or is my mom just fucking you know like that?
I don't think. No, I think my family's better.
They're a little more thoughtful.
Yeah,
considered a little bit.
Yeah, my mom has kind of done that before with a couple things, but generally she's pretty good. You know, I don't think it'd be my family's to that extent.
That's you know, rough. I mean, it's definitely a cultural thing. Like in Europe, it's a little different. Like, you know, but here it's like if you give somebody a gift, they're
my grandma's like that.
Oh yeah,
my grandma's like that exactly. Actually.
Bad gifts. Just
my mom bought her like they were going on a cruise, and so my mom like spent all this money to get her like travel insurance because my grandma can't get it because she's diabetic. She's got a pre-existing condition.
Okay.
And then she bought her like special stuff for the trip and like all like a special package like a relaxation package on the trip.
Oh.
And my grandma was like, why'd you spend this money? This too much money. She's like, well, because I worry about you. What if something happens to you? You wanted to get this, but you couldn't afford it. And she's like, don't worry about me. Why do you worry? I'm your grandmother. I worry. I'm your mother. I worry, not you. And she's like, what about the relaxation stuff? She's like, I don't need to relax. You relax. I worry about you. You relax. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, grandma. Like, just be appreciative.
Just take the goodies.
Yeah, like, take the gifts. My mom was clearly excited about it. And, you know, to an extent, gifts aren't about the person you're giving to. They're about you, too.
You say, yes, thank you for the gift. It's very thoughtful. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know? So what am I going to give my mom? The Christmas is coming now. What am I going to give my mom? Somebody reminded me.
That's what I said. I should give you the hat back for Christmas.
Oh,
then you give it back to her.
That would be a funny fucking trick.
Yeah.
That would turn it around on her. Somebody, remember last week, we talked about favorite holidays, and I somehow said Christmas, favorite holiday? What the fuck was I thinking?
Somebody pointed out
that
you hated it.
They were absolutely right. And I read the comment like, yeah, you're right. I fucking hate Christmas, man. It gets worse every year. So I take it back. I hate the holiday.
I think the first thing you said was that you get work off. You get time off.
I love getting time off work. Yeah, that's the best. But yeah, now I got to worry about my parents' gifts, so I'm fucked.
Yeah, I get it. And then I think you actually like Thanksgiving more than you're giving yourself credit for. Because really, if you think about Thanksgiving dishes, turkey's the only thing you can't eat.
You still get the work off.
You get work off, and everything else is like perfect for you. Stuffing, cranberries, like, mashed potatoes.
I do like all that stuff. Everything is made with fucking meat.
Doesn't have to be, though.
It doesn't have to be, but I don't cook it myself.
What else is made with
stuffing's
meat?
Stuffing's always stuffed in the turkey and full of turkey juice.
I don't put the stuffing in the turkey. I like stuffing cooked.
Well, I don't cook myself ever, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, stuffing, gravy's full of meat.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's vegetarian gravy, but who's doing that? It's always meat broth based.
Fair enough.
I can eat mashed potatoes, and I can eat some kind of green bean casserole if there's no bacon in it. Everything's got fucking meat in
it. Let me ask you a question.
It's a shame.
At what point do you think it's appropriate to start going to your family's Thanksgiving?
To inviting them over?
To inviting them over or having your own Thanksgiving?
Well, I'll never have my own Thanksgiving.
Why is that?
Because I'll never have my parents over for dinner.
Well, okay, let's say, forget having them over. Let them have their Thanksgiving with their, whoever they...
Oh.
Do they invite anybody over or is it just them?
Well, they invite
just
me.
Just you guys.
They invite, some people, they invite people over.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, my family's like my grandparents, my parents, and they invite other relatives or
so what are you saying?
So I'm saying, like, me and Chloe, if we wanted to, could have our own Thanksgiving this year, but we're going to her family's or we could go to my family's.
Yeah.
But at what point do you reach the age where it's like, you know, let's say you move to a different city. Like, you just have your own Thanksgiving, right? A lot of people do that.
Okay.
Is it an age thing or is it just like when your parents aren't around anymore?
It's just got to be circumstance-based, I guess. I mean, if your parents are capable of cooking it and they're always doing it, then they probably will do it until they can't for whatever reason.
I wonder if they'd be offended if I hosted Thanksgiving and invited them over.
Oh, I fucking bet they would.
I think they would be.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's move on. You want to talk about your giveaway?
Tell us your Thanksgiving stories.
Yeah, tell us all your Thanksgiving stories.
So...
What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
If you don't know...
I don't want to fucking know.
I'm doing a giveaway on my Facebook page. That's Facebook.com/agreedie. Agree die.
No or.
There's no or there. Somebody else fucking has it.
Wow, that's the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, right at the top, pinned to the top, is my giveaway of a SeveredTies.us. That's the company, SeveredTies.us. They have very nice ties. I have one right here. Here, I'm going to let Yuri touch it and tell me how he feels about it while I keep talking to you.
Ooh.
They sell very nice ties. Guess how much? You guess how much. Touch it for a while. Don't even say it. Then you guess how much. They also sell collar stays, what are they called? Tie clips.
Mm-hmm.
Really colorful, cute tie clips. Very cheap. But yeah, it's a giveaway. So you show me your best tulip knot, a photograph of your best tulip knot, and I'm going to have three winners. One guy wins a tie, or girl, and then two runners-up win a set of tie clips. And the owner of this company is going to pick the winners himself. So it's going to be a kind of interactive thing.
You want to know my guess?
Guess how much?
I'm going to guess 45 retail, 38 on sale when they have specials.
Good guess. $12. $11.99. That tie and all the other ties to sell. And bow ties.
You know what? I guessed a little bit high because I didn't want to guess low.
Yeah.
But even if I guessed low, I would have guessed 30.
Right.
30 would have been my low guess.
It's only 12, 11.
I never, like, I go to, you know, Kohl's all the time or Macy's or whatever. And you always see, like, the best deal you get is buy one, get one half off. Ties are usually $30 and then one is 15. That's a good deal. This is really nice. I like this a lot. It's a really cool material. It's got like that, like a plaid, if you're listening. What's the word I'm looking for? Like
matte.
What's
the texture? Canvas?
Like a cotton canvas. Yeah. It's really nice, though. It's really cool.
It's heavy. And they have knit ties. They sell knit ties. Yeah. All kinds of, you know, ties like this. Mm-hmm. This is a narrow tie. So it's modern. And yeah, tie clips. The tie clips are $2 each.
They're cool.
It's a great, you know what? If you don't win the contest, check the site out. I mean, if you're in it tomorrow, Christmas is coming. Go get a tie.
Christmas is coming. Winter's coming.
So, yeah, check out my giveaway. Look, you tie a tulip knot, put a photo up there. It's fun. You might win. It's easy.
Show us the length of your tie.
Show us your length.
If it's a good length.
And your girth.
You know, speaking of length. What do you think of movie length versus value?
We got a segue, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of length.
What do you think of movie length versus movie value?
This came to me. I was listening to Laurie and Julia on the radio. Mm-hmm. Which is a really great radio broadcast I listen to sometimes.
Yeah.
With these two older ladies.
I like them. My Talk 107.
Yeah, My Talk 107.
They're fun.
I kind of hate them, but I like to hate them.
I don't listen to the radio anymore because I do podcasts or I plug my iPhone into stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But when I'm like, don't want to do that and I'm really bored and there's nothing good on like for music, I like them. They're fun. They're like, they're the gossipy old ladies at your workplace, but on the radio, basically.
Yeah. So they were talking about some movie they watched and then it was so short. And they were saying the movie that short, they get mad that it costs the same as a long movie because you don't get as much value out of it. And I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, you know, it's interesting because movies have gotten longer, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in, the 90s, early 2000s, a movie was an hour and a half.
The average length of a movie nowadays, like, especially if a movie is aiming for, like, an Oscar or something, you know, like, grander, is almost always longer.
Yeah. Now I feel like the movie is almost always 2 hours or longer.
A comic book movie or an Oscar like type contender, 2 hours minimum.
Yeah, so that's kind of a trend that happened, but movie prices have not changed.
I mean, yeah, with inflation, but not really. I guess, you know.
So then I was thinking about it, like should they go up because movies are longer? But then I'm thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you go to a restaurant, you pay more money for higher quality food, not more food. By that rationale. A long, shitty movie should definitely not cost more than a short movie, you know?
Yeah.
Because where's the value? Is the value how long you're tied up in a movie theater? Because that's not value in and of itself. Yeah. The movie might be terrible, you know?
I always think this is an interesting argument when we talk about video games. Because people are like, you know, I do like to say, like, oh, well, if games are so cheap for the value when they go on discount, like, I can get a $20 or $15 game and... the time I could put into it could be 30 hours, right? That's, to me, a great value.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that's necessary. Like, I think quality... like, for example, I like a short 10-hour experience that's just, like, concise. Every moment's action-packed, fun. The gameplay's great. The story's amazing. Versus something that's bloated. And like an Assassin's Creed game is so stretched out and bloated when it comes to the plot. Like, by the time I get to the end, I don't even remember what the point is.
While we're on Assassin's Creed,
yeah.
Not to get too far, I'm still going to be on this topic.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Rogue. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, so I figured this out after you talked about it.
Yeah.
There are two... So there's the next-gen Assassin's Creed.
Unity.
And then there's the only old-gen Rogue.
They're coming out at the exact same time.
Yep.
They're different games.
Yep.
And you're going to tell me there's not too many fucking Assassin's Creed games?
I think there are.
What the hell?
I don't think I ever said that.
They just released... you said there's not that many. You said there's only like four.
No, since three.
Three, okay. But I mean, like, Jesus, what the hell's Brotherhood, by the way? That one totally missed me. And then they release Unity.
Look, they're a yearly franchise. They come out every year now. But now they're coming out two a year. It's just too much. I'm done. And neither of them are good, I hear.
What the hell's Rogue? Well, I hear Unity's good, though. No?
I've heard it was glitchy.
It's full of glitches.
Yeah, but I don't...
All right, anyway, back to value.
Yeah, so anyway, so I think, like, to me, that's a weird argument, too, because it's like, yeah, I get that you don't want to pay $60 for something that's going to play for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you need to like be say, this game was only 10 hours. Why did I pay full price for it? If it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's so, yeah, it's with movies. It's like, who cares how long it is if the movie's really good?
Mm-hmm.
But are you implying that maybe they should be movies should be priced per quality, like per Rotten Tomato score?
I would love that.
That'd be interesting. Because it is hard to gauge quality, because there's a lot of comedies that are rated poorly, but I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Comedies are kind of hard to put up there. But like it would be interesting if like, oh, this is a Rotten Tomato score of 90, you know, then it's a full price $15. Or maybe even a premium, $20.
Yeah, it wouldn't work though, because the theaters would never want to lower prices.
No, why would they?
Right.
Yeah, and people, it's a system that's worked for years. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
pay what you want, movie yeah. theater?
How would that work?
What you would go to a movie for free. And then on your way out, you would pay whatever you felt that movie was worth.
Yeah, the problem is people are scumbags and they would pay nothing.
It's not true. I mean, Humble Bundle works.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people pay small amounts. And I feel like the gaming community is a little more... Like, a lot of people in the gaming community are like, oh, I want to pay a lot of money because I get the work put into this. I don't know. Maybe it would work in movies.
Could work. There's a lot of things I said would never work, and they do work. And I'm shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I would go to more movies, maybe, if I knew, like, oh, I could just pay $5.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I always hear from movie theaters. Well, I heard it once. Yeah. They make all their money from concession sales.
I believe that. I heard that.
So the thing is, those don't change. You're still selling popcorn and soda.
So what if we get more people into the theater?
Yeah, so the theater is... Everybody goes. You can watch 7 movies a day for $7.
How about this? Pay what you want, but depending on how recently it came out, there's a floor.
A minimum.
So if it...
It's at least $1. Or something.
Well, let's say it just came out. Like, it's the weekend.
Well, I figure the theater... Well, okay, let's go.
Let's say it's the weekend it came out. $10.
Okay.
Right? After the weekend, it drops to, like, 8. Then, after that week, it'll go to, like, 5. And then, after, like, whatever, it's, like, 2.
That ruins the whole concept, though.
Why?
Because then you just go in and pay the minimum every time. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to pay more than 10, ever. I'll never pay more than 10 for a movie. That's
well, if you
crazy.
Wait, if you wait 2 weeks, what are you going to pay?
7. 6.
Yeah, because you want to or because it's the minimum?
Because I want to.
What if just after the first weekend it dropped? Because, you know, people who want to go see it quickly for a premium, you get more money.
This is an interesting model where the price just goes down, but it's not really valuable because it's not pay what you want. Like, that doesn't... It destroys the whole idea.
You're thinking there's more quality... Like, more...
I'm thinking...
In the idea. Like, people,
you know,
people like the idea so much, they'll just do it.
They have, like, these theaters that only play old movies.
Yeah.
And they charge less, and they just play old movies. Like, Fight Club still plays on them, and, like, Matrix 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. Like, I don't imagine blockbuster movies going to this theater, but it's one theater. Somebody's like, I'm going to have a theater that's pay what you want. And then they only play whatever movies the fucking guy wants. Like, we do live watch?
Yeah.
What if we had to donate whatever you want for this live watch? Like, we curate the movies, and you pay us whatever you feel like. They're playing Tango and Cash. They're playing, you know, Bloodsport 1. And you just pay what you want on your way out. And you pay the concessions while you're at it.
It's interesting, but the movie industry is still more or less thriving. I mean, I think, right?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it'd be an interesting model. I think it would reward good movies.
In a couple years, maybe 10 years or 5 years, when, you know, Netflix is getting bigger, stuff is skipping theaters and going straight to Netflix a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Like companies are producing their own movies and putting them straight on demand. Like, that, like Steven Soderbergh, the director who did Ocean's 11. He made that movie behind the Candelabra. The movie about Liberace. Michael Douglas played Liberace. Matt Damon was like his lover. That went straight to HBO. They skipped theaters because Soderbergh was like, I don't want to work with theaters and big studios anymore. Like, that kind of shit could keep happening. At which point, theaters will have to adjust their model. And maybe that would be how they adjust it. So
I watched Sex Tape recently.
Oh,
on a
that?
Recommendation.
The Cloud.
Horrible.
Bad.
The movie sucks, man. What does it deal with we go to Redbox and we get comedies often.
Mm-hmm.
Rom-coms.
You're Redbox people.
Yeah, we sometimes, because we have so many, we're surrounded by Redbox.
It's nice, yeah, you are.
So we go there, you know, we like to get rom-coms, check them out. They're easy watching, is what they call it. You know?
I like a good rom-com.
The problem is, so often, they forget to make it fucking funny. It's almost like an oversight. Like, they forgot to put in the jokes. Like, they get the plot figured out, and the plot's a good setup, you know? But then throughout that, they forgot the humor. And you're just watching this, like, it's like a Seinfeld episode without the jokes in it. Okay, I mean, the situation is amusing in and of itself, but there's no comedy. So we watched the whole fucking movie and go, where's the laughter?
Do you know who directed it?
I don't give a fuck.
Well, it seemed like Jason Segel has been in, like, what was the other movie? The 5-Year Engagement. And I heard very similar things about them. Like, kind of that weird...
That movie That was one of those movies that was funny and fell off and started being depressing.
A Judd Apatow movie.
Yeah.
I said, I was wondering if it was Judd Apatow for this one.
Oh, I don't know. No, this one never got depressing. This just wasn't... It just
wasn't funny.
I mean, there was a couple parts where, like, I chuckled.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they showed the sex tape, sort of, kind of like in that Las Vegas movie. They showed...
The Hangover. They showed pictures.
So that was funny to see that.
Yeah.
But, like, throughout the movie, okay, the situation's funny. And, like, okay, the mailman's got the movie, and how do you keep the mailman from seeing it? And then her boss has it, and he's, like, hilarious. But, like, okay, there's a few funny situations. Like, the boss is, like... He's a really uptight guy, but really he just does a bunch of coke.
I think I have two problems with them with the movie. And it's Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel.
You've seen it?
No, I'm telling you right now. I just don't think they're that funny.
Well, I think Jason Segel's... I like him a lot.
I think he's funny in the right context. Like, he's great on How I Met Your Mother.
See, I hate that fucking show.
I think he's great on it, though. I think his character is funny.
Okay.
I don't think he's, like, when he's, like, the leading man. He was great in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah?
But lately, like, him in 5-Year Engagement wasn't that funny. And he doesn't look that funny in this show. I don't know, this movie. He just doesn't look like it fits. And I don't like Cameron Diaz.
No,
I don't
she like was, her. Yeah.
She's really awkward. Every movie I've seen her, like The Holiday, my girlfriend loves The Holiday. I watched it with her. And she's so awkward. She's got this weird manic energy that like doesn't work. It's
You know, I like her. I think she's good.
I think she's
made for romantic comedies.
She weirds me out. I feel like she's a bad actress.
She's in this fucking movie. I don't know what movie it is. I don't remember. It's this weird drug cartel movie she's in. And she has sex with a car in it. And it was a really disturbing scene where she's in a convertible. And there's this guy she's with. And he's in the passenger seat. And she's in the front seat. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'm going to fuck your car. And then she climbs onto the front windshield and presses her vagina up into the windshield. And then starts rubbing it against the windshield while the guy's in the passenger seat watching it. And he's describing the story to a friend, and they're showing it while he's describing it. And then
what movie is this?
I can't remember. Brad Pitt is in it.
Burn After Reading? I don't know.
No, it's not a comedy. Okay. This is a serious movie.
Oh, a serious movie.
Brad Pitt's in it. Cameron Diaz is in it. That's all I remember.
Killing Them Softly?
Fuck, I don't know what it is. But anyway, she has sex with a car, and he says it's the most disturbing thing I ever saw. The guy said that, I was imagining that happening. That's pretty funny.
So yeah, don't know how we segued that far off, but...
We were talking about movie length, and we were talking about comedies.
So, I don't know, I'm with you that I don't think movie length is indicative of value.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, there's no argument there. The argument is, should you have, like, when you pay the same amount of money for a short movie, do you feel ripped off?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. No. But that Laurie and Julia are kind of saying that they do feel that way. And I'm like, well, length itself is hollow. Like, buying a big, thick book doesn't make it a better book.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all about quality. Like, I feel gypped off. Like, if I paid $18 to go see Lucy in theaters, I'd be so mad.
Get my money back, my fucker.
Get my money back. But I didn't.
Well, you ever walk out of movies? Like, you hate them so much you just can't even finish?
Only once. I was young.
What movie?
Kung Pao Fist or something? What was it?
Hmm.
It was like this really bad, weird kung fu satire movie. Kung Pao?
With the... Is it a cartoon?
No.
With the panda?
It's live action. No, that's...
Oh, real movie.
Real movie. It came out like maybe when I was like 12 or 13.
You hated it?
Yeah, I was just...
How did you do? You were 13. Where'd you go?
We went to the Regal.
Yeah, but how did you get out of it? With your parents or what?
We just like... they dropped us off to go see it.
Yeah.
And then we like, this is so bad, we just left and walked around Target and like in that area until they came... Until the movie's over.
I walked out of one movie only ever too. It was Paycheck with Ben
with
Affleck.
Ben Affleck?
Yep, movie was so fucking horrible.
Is that the one with Morgan Freeman too?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I watched about 45 minutes of it and I'm like, I'm gonna play Xbox.
What is that?
Oh, high school. We were having a midnight screening because my friend like was manager.
Oh yeah,
theater.
Matt Malone.
Yeah. So we were just Malone, the Yuri impersonator.
Yeah.
He was a manager of a movie theater, so we just midnight screened every movie. And
I remember when I went to see Cinderella Man with you guys. That was one of my favorite movie experiences of all time. The movie's so good.
Yeah, the movie's good. Yeah. But yeah, it was Paycheck. And I'm like, you know what? I got an Xbox to play. This is bullshit.
Wow.
I just left. I went home.
It would take a lot for me to walk out of a theater.
You already went there. You know what I mean? You
wanted to go to the effort. Right? Like, and I've already paid. I just at least be able to like... Now I feel like I just kind of be like, well, I'll tell people how bad it was. It'll be a fun story.
Yeah.
But
now we got a podcast. You definitely can't walk out of movies.
Yeah, now I can't walk out
of
shit.
You got to savor that.
You guys, I'd sacrifice. Take one for the team. So,
hey, speaking of movies, this is a segue for you.
Yeah.
Zardoz the movie. That's my next topic. Well, it's not almost my next. We can get there.
Zardoz, huh?
So there's the movie Zardoz. Have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it. I've seen the picture of
Sean Connery. You've seen the picture, yeah. So the picture of Sean Connery wearing like red leather like a red leather harness.
Red leather, yellow leather.
With a big braid going down to his crotch, holding a like a phaser.
It's really weird.
It's a really weird picture, and it's a really weird movie. And I watched it in middle school with our boy Tilson.
Oh, you watched it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. This movie changed my life. Yeah. It changed my life, and I want to talk to you about it. And I want to talk about how it changed my life. I'm going to link to the trailer. I have a link right there you can see. Mm-hmm. It's really, it's fucking weird, man. It's not a normal movie. It's kind of a movie where people make fun of it because it's so stupid and bizarre, but here's the premise. I haven't seen it since. I have it on DVD. I have not seen it since I saw it.
Maybe a watch? A live watch?
I don't know if this will ever be a live watch. This movie's too strange. But here's what happens in the movie, okay? There's this, it's this weird future, and think like the distant future where the Earth has like been destroyed and life has respawned, and it's like caveman days again.
Like 2006.
What do you mean?
That was a joke, because like all like the 80s movies had like in the distant future, 2005.
Oh.
And then now we're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so Sean Connery is an exterminator, and he travels with a bunch of people like dressed like him, and they go around killing these people. So there's just like barbarians, and they run around, and they have guns, and they just shoot, and they kill all these villages. And they do it for their god, who is Zardoz. And Zardoz is a giant stone head that flies in the sky, and he tells them...
Oh, wait, there's really...
It's a real thing, Zardoz. And he flies around the clouds like a big stone, angry face, and he just says, "You must kill. The gun is good. Death is a gift." And he runs around and tells them to kill everybody. And then these guys go around for Zardoz, and they kill and they rape everybody. And that's like the Sean Connery is. And he's this like barbarian who goes around killing everybody. Then Sean Connery finds a way to get into the stone head. He like, I forgot how he does it, but it lands or he finds it in the hills. And he goes inside. And inside he finds the guy who's in charge. And he's like this dude wearing a wizard suit. And he shoots him. He kills him. And the guy's dead. And then he's just in the head. And then the head takes him to a different place where he gets off, and there's all these other people there. They're dressed in white, and they're like, it's like in a paradise, like a utopia. And then he's in this different world. And these people are kind of like, they're super advanced, and they live forever, and they're immortal. And then this, it turns out that the guy who was controlling the head was just bored. And he decided to just go pretend he was God to all these barbarians, tell them to do stupid shit. And then the movie goes on as he was living in this weird area, and the whole premise of the movie is how these guys live forever, and how horrible it is to be immortal. Because they're so bored.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then they're all just like in this world and all they want to do is die.
Have I ever told you about the book, The Metamorphosis of the Prime Intellect?
Mm-mm.
This book is really fucking great. It's like an indie book, if you can, if that makes any sense. Like it's not very... Low budget book. Basically what happens is this guy builds a computer, like a supercomputer.
Okay.
That becomes incredibly... advanced, and I don't even know if I can explain this properly. But the computer eventually realizes that, like, humans are hurting themselves, and he wants to make everything better. So he creates, like, he basically puts everybody into the Matrix. Like, he puts all humans into the Matrix.
Okay.
And in this, like, but everybody's in their own individual, like, world, where they can create anything from thought on their own.
Okay.
And part of the program is that people can't die. Right? So they can't die anymore because the computer will keep them from dying. He's like uploaded digital versions of these people into his hard drive and he can like recreate these people. It's really weird.
Okay.
Right? Because he's got control over matter now.
All
right. So people have become so bored, a certain group of people, with living forever and having anything they want because now there's nothing to strive for, nothing to need, that they sign these contracts with this prime being, the prime intellect is what it's called.
The computer.
Yeah. Called like pain contracts or death contracts. Where for a period of time, they can feel pain and, like, almost die. And right at the moment of death, like, before they die, the prime intellect will recreate them. And they won't die, essentially. They won't cease being.
Okay.
So the only thing in this world that, like, will give them any satisfaction is pain. Because pain shows them they're still alive, because otherwise they're bored of their mind. So they're like these torture clubs where people are torturing themselves and find new ways to torture each other to, like, feel pain.
Hmm.
And it's, like, very weird. It's all about, like, what would happen when you get everything you want.
That's a book.
Yeah. It's not very long. It's very weird, very interesting.
Interesting.
I'd recommend it just out of the how weird it is.
Yeah, I love it.
It's really high concept, like really cool. Check it out.
I love that.
Yeah.
So the whole, why this changed my life is before this, I'm an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But a lot of times people, you know, like, how could you not, like, why would you be an atheist, whatever, whatever. And I'll tell you why. Not, I mean, this isn't why I'm an atheist, but one of the things about the concept of heaven to me is you live in eternal happiness. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Like, here's what I would do if I was in heaven. I could do anything I want.
That's what this book is basically. It's like, you're in heaven. You have anything you want.
That's what Zardoz is about.
You're bored out of your mind.
Yeah, that's what Zardoz is about. And so what I would do, well, I would go to Jupiter and check out what's inside of it.
Yeah.
I would go to a different, you know, I would explore every galaxy mm-hmm. in the whole universe. I'd explore all of them. Yeah, it would take a long time.
That's a very interesting explanation of why somebody would be atheist.
Well, it's not why I'm atheist, yeah. but it's just something like my preference of what afterlife should be like isn't what guides me. Like, I just need to see proof, you know, but whatever. But like the thing is, I'm thinking about heaven as an eternal happiness spot. And I'm saying that's not possible. It is impossible to have an eternal happiness spot because we'll get bored.
Because human nature is to strive for things.
Yeah, because eventually you'll see everything and do everything you ever wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Eventually. It might take you 2 million years.
Yeah.
But I will see every single planet that I'm interested in. I will know how time works. I'll understand, you know, how ants operate. Yep. And then I'll have all my problems solved. And then what? Then I got infinite more years to go to do what? Then it becomes hell. Now you're in hell.
True happiness is the pursuit of happiness.
That's, you know what? That's smart.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. And then the Zardoz really, it pretty much is that concept. Like, these guys live in a utopia.
Yeah.
And they live forever. And they're just bored out of their minds. All they want is to die. Mm-hmm. And that's why Zardoz goes around saying that death is a gift. Give these people the gift of death. Because that's what he wants. And he's giving them a gift in saying kill all these other people. It's a weird fucking movie, but it really, it moved me in that way. And I remember, you know, staying up all night that night thinking about this shit going, yeah.
I'm going to make you read this book.
I don't even make me do anything. I like it.
Well, yeah, I got to remind you. I know you'll forget.
Write it down. Is it an audiobook? I can't read.
Put that it's really short. You wonder if it's short?
Okay. I'll read it.
If I have to, I will narrate it
for you. Know what's... There's a short book, too, called I Have No Mouth, But I Must Scream.
That's a game, too.
Yeah, it's a game based on a book. And the book is also very short. But it's that's a book that I've
heard it's really twisted.
Yeah, it's about a computer that took over the world, and there's only 4 people left, and the computer keeps these 4 people around only for entertainment, because he's bored, because he lived forever, which is boredom.
Yeah.
So he has these 4 or 5 people that he keeps around just to, like, just torment, and then, like, that's what it's about, what they go through.
Similar themes, sounds like.
Yeah, it is very similar themes, but it's also very short.
Interesting theme. I didn't know it was a book. I want to read it, because I don't want to play the game.
Read it. I bought it on Amazon. It was 99 cents audiobook. Yeah. I mean, not audiobook, e-book. It's like, I read it in, like, 2 hours. And even that, it's really short.
Yeah.
It's super short. It's a short story, essentially.
Well, fucking A. Yeah, so I think that's a really interesting thing. I kind of want to watch... I always thought Zardoz was some stupid bullshit space movie. That sounds way
You know what? I haven't seen it since middle school, I'm telling you. If we watch it again, I might hate it. But back then, it really affected me.
It's probably a bad movie with a very interesting plot, which is probably why Sean Connery signed up in the first place.
Yep. Yeah, Sean Connery's in it. It's weird, right? I have really it on DVD. Weird. We should watch it someday.
I think it should be a live watch. That kind of sounds interesting.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Why not? Fuck it. Make it a live watch.
Yeah.
I'll make all you guys suffer watching that movie. We're doing a live watch tonight. Or for you, it'll be later. But
yeah, hopefully people got into it. Tango and Cash is a great movie.
One of my favorites.
It's the kind of movie that makes you want to take your dick out and masturbate, if you know what I mean.
we should all mutually masturbate.
If you know what I mean.
At the same time while we're watching
it. Slit his throat ear to ear.
All right, let's move on to a real topic.
A real topic.
It's about Facebook.
Yeah, why don't you prep this one?
Okay, so... I've made a few videos about Facebook, and I'm a big Facebook supporter and social media supporter. Mm-hmm. But people, there's been complaints about, well, there's one big complaint. This guy wrote this poem. It's called Look Up. It's like this poem. It's like a prose piece where he talks about how everybody has 600 friends, but they're still alone at night, you know, and like this kind of like
this juxtaposition
of your online life and your real life. Yeah, I'm tired of it too. And there's another one that I saw before this poem. Somebody else shared it with me. It was a guy, it wasn't a poem. It was a guy just analyzing Facebook and saying why it's bad for, like, your intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons he cited is because the way the algorithm works in Facebook is they show you more content that's similar to content you interact with.
Yeah.
So when you like things and comment on things and look at people's profiles, Facebook will rate that content higher on your feed and you'll see more of it. So what these people claim is that it creates an echo chamber effect, which means that you only see things you agree with. So if you're a Republican and you always say, yeah, I agree with this Republican statement, and yeah, I support, you know, what's that fucking guy? What's the... McCain? John McCain?
He's a guy.
I support John McCain. I love John McCain stories. So you like them and interact with them and talk about them, but you don't talk about Obama stories or only negative Obama stories. Like, Obama did this bad. Mm-hmm. I like it. Then that's all Facebook becomes to you, is an echo chamber of the same message over and over again. And you don't get any of the other viewpoints. Now, this premise is only right if you're the kind of person that only interacts with things you agree with, which is not true of me or most of my friends.
Yeah.
Like, I interact way more with things I don't agree with. Like, if I see a funny cat video, I like funny cat videos. I don't interact with that. I'm like, oh, I laugh.
Yeah, I'm not like, LOL.
Yeah. Then somebody posts something about, you know, like abortion that I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. I will certainly comment there. And then in turn, I see more comments about abortion that I don't agree with that I can comment on and argue about. Like, I actually do quite a bit of debating on Facebook. More than the average bear. But so do all my friends. You know? So for me, it's nothing like an echo chamber. It's quite an amalgamation of all the opinions of my friends.
I'm sorry, I've just never heard you say more than the average bear in my life. You just decided to start using that? That's amazing.
I say it.
I mean, it's a great phrase. It's just so weird to hear it come out of your mouth. So yeah, you'd like to debate. That's what gets you going.
Yeah, I like to see what other people are saying. I go, here's why your argument's flawed here. Mm-hmm. And I talk about it. Yeah. Or I say, here's why this meme is fucking stupid. And I talk about that. You know, and I like to do that. So yeah, it could be an echo chamber. But even if that's true, okay, what in life, what consumable media in life is not an echo chamber?
Yeah.
When is the last time you read a book you don't like?
I agree with what you're saying here.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so
it,
what?
It means your life is so... It means you never leave the house. You never look at anything else. You are only on Facebook. Like, that's what he's basically saying. Or, like, any... like, but you're right. So what?
Even if he's saying that, yeah.
You don't see other news. Like, you don't... What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means nothing in the context of what you're trying to prove.
Like, if you watch Fox News all day, you know, is that not you being an echo... participating in an echo chamber? Mm-hmm. Like, who says you're required to be, forced to look at things you don't agree with?
Yeah.
Nobody is. You got to make that choice. You want to seek out the opinions of others you disagree with. You have to seek them out.
Yeah.
So the fact that Facebook creates an echo chamber, it's like, well, if you let it, then it does. And if it does, who cares?
And I don't think Facebook ever pretends to be anything other than what it is.
I mean, just, Facebook doesn't. Yeah, they're not at all.
They're like, you know, here are all your friends. Here's your news feed. But your news feed is what people what you give a shit about. You know, if you want real news, go to CNN.com. Like, it's a weird thing. It's a weird.
You know what else I'm sick of is people whenever... Well, two things. First off, whenever Facebook makes any kind of change, everyone's like, oh my God.
This has been going on. This hasn't happened in a while because I think they've kind of slowed down their changes.
I don't know, maybe.
But there was a period of... I remember, when they started and every year for 6 years, there was some changing their format or changing their look or changing some policy.
And then they just fucking... It was constant bullshit.
Ugh.
I will leave Facebook if Facebook doesn't retract this. I'm going to break it to you guys.
Guess how many times Facebook retracted?
How many?
Zero.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was zero, but I didn't even tell me something.
It's zero. No, it's zero.
Well, I'll tell you... I'm going to break it down for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anything. And Facebook knows a lot more than you. That's all you need to know. When Facebook makes a change that affects you in a very minor way, you don't know anything about it. They know a lot of shit about what they're doing.
Now, bad privacy policies, you know, stuff like that, like, you can have an opinion on that.
Sure.
But if you don't like their new format because it's different and it takes you, 20 seconds longer to find where you used to click for something...
Mm-hmm. Get over it.
Yeah, you're they've market tested this clearly, you know what I mean?
They only make serious decisions.
I don't like it either when something changes, you know? It annoys me. Like, when my favorite website changed... my favorite news website, Sports Illustrated, I like to go there for sports. When it changed in this weird new format, for a while I was like, this sucks. But then eventually I just got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's fine, you know?
Yeah. And then also, while we're talking about privacy policies, I want to talk about targeted advertising for a little bit. People are so protective of their information. They're so protective of it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Okay? I am not protective of my information. The fact that Facebook knows that I like The Matrix, that does not... I don't give a fuck about that. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I to play devil's advocate...
Play it.
I could see people worrying about where it goes, but one of my least favorite arguments, and people in law school love to argue this, is they call it, you know, the slippery slope argument. You know what that means?
Sure.
Yeah. So, if you don't know, which I'm sure you do, but whatever.
How does it apply? I'm curious how it applies here.
The slippery slope argument is that once... something happens, and the next thing happens, and then what's to stop people from going all the way to the extreme with this, you know?
Well, how that...
So it applies here, where it's like, once they know that you like the Matrix, and they send the Matrix to you, then they know everything about you. They get all your information, and then they sell it to other...
But how did that happen?
That's the point. The point is, rationally, here's where we are now.
Yeah.
But let's say they're like, oh, the targeted advertising works. They get a bigger budget for more gathering more information from other companies. Okay. They gather more information. They start sending it to more places. Next thing you know, the government finds all this information. They go, oh, shit, a lot of people are doing crimes we didn't know about because they got it from some weird information source. Let's get microchips in everybody. Like, it sounds crazy because it is crazy.
Okay.
Right? Like, it doesn't make sense, but...
I mean, there's a lot of... That's a lot of shit going on that has nothing to do with privacy policies.
The privacy policy aspect of it is that, like, the people are... I'm with you, so I'm not arguing this.
Yeah, no, yeah. I hear you.
But I think people would say that, like, it's also a moral argument. Like, I don't... I know that it is great to have things targeted at me advertising because it makes it easier for me to shop and things I want. But in a sense, it's like, did I choose to share that with you? Maybe you did, but maybe you just wrote to somebody somewhere, I like the Matrix, and they found that, and they somehow, through their algorithm... show you the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like that, I can see how people could feel that's slightly invasive, but the end result is who cares, is my point.
You touched on it perfectly, is that it targets advertising toward you better.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing about it, is if I'm going to have to see ads, like, if you don't share your... It's just a little... It's a little mm-hmm. sediment. If you don't share information, advertising toward you is very broad, and chances of you seeing an ad that you care about is slim. It seems like people have this idea that if their information doesn't get out there, they won't have to see advertising. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not what's going to happen. You're still going to see advertising. There's no escape. So if you're going to see it, you might as well see the advertising that you care about.
Like, would you rather the side of your, you know, Amazon thing or your side of your Facebook, you all pantyhose? You know, what if it's all pantyhose? Because they're just like, hey, like, pantyhose are on sale. It's a great deal. We want to push pantyhose. Well, look, people eat pantyhose, but you're a guy. You don't need pantyhose.
I don't need them.
Maybe you're into it. I don't know. You tell me. But let's say you're not. You want something you care about, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't realize this book was out. Maybe I'll go buy it on Amazon now.
Yeah.
You know?
I just don't care about it.
No.
You know? And people are like, oh, they're going to take your info. What are they going to do with it? People have this fucking complex. If you're a celebrity or you're committing a lot of crime, then you can care about your info getting out there.
Yeah.
If you're some fucking douchebag sitting in your boxers watching X-Men on Saturday morning... gives a fuck about you, man. Not them. They don't care.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, people are like, oh, well, WhatsApp steals all your information. They share your text. Who cares?
Who cares?
No one's watching your text, you lamer.
Are you committing a crime? And if you are, commit it better. Don't be sending texts about drugs and whatever you're doing.
If you're selling drugs on text, you got an issue. Yeah. But if you're just texting about what movie you're going to see and, like, you don't want anybody to know.
Get a code.
You care?
Yeah.
You know?
That's my point.
Who cares about
your
information? I don't care. Nobody's going after me. I don't care about my information at all. You show me better ads. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Man, people are dumb.
I don't really get it either. I mean, I get the I can not relate, but I can understand sort of in a bigger picture the moral argument of it. But this is the world we live in, you know? And like, and the other thing is, too, people don't understand the internet, is like what I feel like.
They don't know.
Like, if I go out on a public street tomorrow and I yell, I hate gay people.
I hate
gay people. Let's say I yell it. Just yell it. I don't. But, you know, let's say I yell that. Everybody who's around there would hear it and be like, wow, this person's a bigot.
He's a bigot.
Yeah. If you yell on the internet, a lot of people are like, well, you know, I just put it on my Facebook. Nobody sees that. That's the park.
That's the street.
That is the street. That is a bigger street. Like, it's so weird when people will comment these horrible things on, like, celebrities' pictures or just, like, other people's stuff. And, like, your name's attached. Like, I see your name.
Yeah, they don't, like, that's you saying that.
Like, have you ever gone into, like, these, like, Facebook groups or like whatever and just look at the horrible things people say.
Like, I mean, I've seen horrible things.
Yeah.
I don't go to the group.
But it's crazy. Like their names are attached and it's like, do you not care? Like that is public, you know, that's out there right now. It's just weird. I don't know. Like, people don't understand the internet. People.
It's crazy.
And you're right. I don't know why people care about this targeted advertising thing.
Yeah. I just don't. Target me. Target me better. Yeah. Sell me good things. I see a lot of Thai ads now and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see the ads.
Yeah.
Because they have Thai ads I care about, you know?
The only other thing I could possibly see it being a problem with is if you, like, in some way, addicts were targeted. Like, let's say you're an alcoholic, and, like, you had used to buy booze, but now you got clean, you got sober. And every time you go on Facebook, there's ads for cheap wine at Trader Joe's.
That happens all the time, too, actually, because if you Google for things like alcohol recovery centers...
Yeah.
that triggers alcohol advertising.
Now, that's actually pretty fucked. There was actually a South Park about that sort of recently with, like, free-to-play games.
Yeah.
And their point was that, like, free-to-play games succeed not because everybody buys $10 in a free-to-play game. It's because there's, like, 1% of people in the world who spend $1,000 on a free-to-play game because they're addicted to that, like, that thing. But, like, that kind of targeting is kind of fucked up. And obviously, like, the algorithm
they need to fix. The algorithm is ruined, flawed in that way. Yeah. They need to fix it.
So that is the one place where I can relate to that being fucked.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I'm with you for the most part.
Okay. So. Well, let's move on to a different thing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about...
We talked about the future in Zardoz, but what about the possible near future with drones?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk about drones a little bit. A little segue toast, because we got a lot of segues right now.
We dropped it for a while. I got to bring it back.
So we got drones doing bombing runs right now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to talk much about whether or not, like, the bombings are legit. That's not what I'm concerned about. It used to be where you had a guy in a plane who had to fly there, and bomb things. That's how it used to be. Now we got a remote-controlled drone that goes and bombs things for us.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to be before all the airplanes in the whole Air Force are remote control? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then let's talk about robots that are fighting wars for us. You know, like a mech suit, but just a mech, not even a suit, just a straight up mech, like the one from RoboCop, the robot mech. And there's a guy somewhere in some underground facility in the Pentagon just video gaming this fucking mech, and he's running around fighting a war for us. Mm-hmm. We're not that far off from that. Not far.
So where are you going with this?
I'm going with this where how much better war will be when that's the way war is fought.
Now, I think it's easy to go from point A to point B with that thought that, like, once we have all mechanical drones, right?
Yep.
War will just be robots fighting.
Yes.
But at that point, why don't we just rock paper scissors? You know what I'm saying? Now, what would change?
Wait a minute. You can't drop that and then just move on.
I'm not. Okay, that was a bad thing. But I'm saying, like,
I would like you to drop
that. There's nothing gained by that in a war. And I think people would immediately realize that if my drones are fighting your drones and your drones are fighting my drones, nothing's going to happen in the long run.
What do you mean? Whoever has more drones will win that war.
Well, here's what I think would happen is I think war would change. Is you would stop fighting on the battlefield and you'd start espionage, right? You'd start targeting the people in the bunkers. You'd start attacking the leaders. You'd start... There would still be war, because there'd still be people who would be, you know... The strength of the military would change from brawn to brains, right?
Either hackers and stuff. Yeah. You'd hack the drones.
Yeah. So, or get into the bunker and blow
up... Both. Yeah. Both.
Yeah. So I don't think it would really... Well, I guess my point is I don't think it would change war to the sense that people would die and people would die. You know what I mean? Like, war would still be war to some extent, but it would change the style of war.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But then what, like, it's just different, but it's still horrible. I don't know,
Well, no, because soldiers aren't dying anymore.
Well, the soldiers are now the people in the tech bunkers who are...
Yeah, but, I mean, the level of death of those is going to be way, way smaller compared to, like, World War II deaths.
Well, you know, that's true. I mean, to some extent, every war that's been fought by Americans.
Yeah.
Every war has had less casualties.
Is that true?
That is true.
By American casualties? Or world casualties?
At least, no, American casualties.
Okay, well, that's sure.
Yeah, but America's technology has advanced. And maybe, you know, honestly, maybe other countries too.
We did drop those nukes.
But, I mean, the Civil War had the most, obviously, because it was Americans fighting Americans, right?
Okay.
World War I had the second most. World War II had way less.
American casualties.
American casualties.
Well, we weren't frontlining.
In World War II?
Yeah.
Were we in World War One?
Kind of.
Well, okay. Well, then the Vietnam War had less.
Okay.
The next Iraq War had less. This Iraq War had less. I mean, all right. They all had less, you know, because the way war is fought is changing.
Yeah, it's hard to compare because every war is so different. Like, world war is different.
But that's the point. They're different because technology changes, political, you know, politics changes.
So here's my like, okay. Remember the movie Toys?
No.
With Robin Williams?
No.
Okay, there's a movie called Toys.
Where he's in the front wearing that red hat.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about.
So the premise of the movie is he owns a toy company, and then his father dies. He works at a toy company. His father who owns it dies, and then his uncle or somebody takes it over, and he's this military mastermind. And his whole thing is training kids to fight wars by having these video games that are super realistic, where it's like they're fighting planes and battleships, and it's a video game.
Kind of like Ender's Game. But
it's exactly like Ender's Game, yeah. But that, so it's pretty much that same concept,
yeah.
Where war is a video game that brilliant kids can fight.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's kids is irrelevant. But I'm saying making war more like a video game, I think that's definitely going to happen. But and then, whether you're talking about controlling drones or controlling mechs,
yeah,
to controlling hacking programs and hacking,
yeah,
it's a video game either way.
But what I'm saying is if people are controlling the machines,
yeah,
the people you're going to kill are the people controlling the machines. Those are going to be the casualties.
Sure, but you can hide those people so far underground. Like, you know, you can't bomb people who are underground 100 feet.
You're going to... What I'm saying is, like, you're going to... That's going to... That's how war is going to change. The focus will change from these battles in the field.
Well, now yeah, you can also... There's a different... You have different goals.
Well, let's say nukes.
You can destroy... You can destroy the people. Yes, that's one goal. You can also destroy the storage facilities where the mechs are kept.
Yeah.
You can destroy the manufacturing facilities where they make the drones. Mm-hmm. You can destroy... The military targets are still the military targets. The difference is there's way less soldier casualties this time, and war is fought much more remotely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's less human death in war, unless you're targeting civilian targets. Mm-hmm. Then it's still it's worse.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're fighting a war now, instead of having, like, soldiers in trenches, you don't have that anymore. Now it's like, if you're fighting, like, say we're fighting Russia, and it's all drone-on-drone, mech-on-mech combat, once Russia's, you know, let's say we're winning, and Russia has, all their mechs are dead, they've got to surrender. And there are almost no human casualties in that war. The mechs are all dead. You can't defend yourself anymore. Now what? You have to surrender now. It's the same with soldiers. Once you're out of soldiers, you're out. But now the soldiers are all fucking metal. So there's no more human death.
I mean, I think...
It's a brave new world.
Well, I think that it'd be like the nuclear... Like, it would be the same kind of detente you'd have with nuclear weapons. You would just keep stockpiling these military soldiers, you know, these robots...
Robots.
Until you had a stalemate, until you couldn't do anything.
Well, but why would that be different than stockpiling human soldiers until you had a stalemate? That didn't happen. Nobody stockpiled human soldiers until you're like, oh, they have too many soldiers. No.
Well, it happens with nuclear weapons. That's why.
Yeah, but nukes are different. I mean, you're still getting the nuke thing. You can nuke the robots, but I mean, that's a different thing. The nuke war is different.
What I'm saying is people don't go to war with nukes because everybody's got nukes and it would cause like...
You're saying they won't go to war with robots?
I don't know.
Now, here's what's interesting about robots, though.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about robots is you could be better at being a robot. This is like the age of samurais again, yeah, you know, where you're the... Like Ender, okay? What's Ender's game? What's special about Ender than every other kid?
He's
better than everybody else.
Yeah.
When you give him a robot, that motherfucker's better than everybody else. His robot, even though it's the same robot, it's worth more because he's a badass samurai at fighting other dudes. So, like, you can have these, like, you could be better at training your people. You can have better robots. There's a lot more variety. It's not just, oh, you have 100,000 robots, we have 200,000 robots. No, because if they have a bunch of better trained pilots... Mm-hmm. The whole being a badass comes back. I feel like nowadays, I've never served military time. I don't know shit what I'm saying right now. But I feel like right now, it's hard to be a badass military guy. You know what I mean? Because you can kill dudes with your gun, and that you'd be a good shot. But one bullet ends your life. You know, you can get, like, lucky shot, you're dead. It's boring. You know what I'm saying?
I just still feel like war, like right now, you know, we're fighting... We're still fighting a war in Iraq whatever.
I'm so tired of that thing.
Whatever, let's not get it. But the way it's guerrilla groups right now, these like small terrorist cells, right?
Yeah.
And there's still one leader organizing all. Now let's go ahead, replace those terrorist cells with robots.
Yeah.
That terrorist leader is still the one who's like hiding around, like, you know, being shuffled around, controlling these groups and telling them where to go.
Okay.
If you change those people with robots, right, then what's changed? You still got one guy.
Less human beings die.
But you're talking about civilians. What if you send those robots?
Well, less soldiers too.
What?
Less soldiers die.
Yeah, less soldiers die. That's a good point. That's fair.
Yeah.
But I just don't think war will end. I guess it's
no. I'm not saying at all war will end. I'm saying war will be different. Where it'll be the age of samurais again. Because now, when you have a really badass soldier, he can get reincarnated forever. Okay. And then he can control a robot better than anybody else. So you can have these, like, super hyper, like, awesome soldiers that are, like... It'll be more like the pilots in World War II who had all these kills under their belt. You know, like, this whole, like, pilot aces. But this time, if you shoot them down, they can come back. Yeah. And you'll have, like, these dudes with reputations. It'll be just so cool. And
yeah, I don't know if we'll... I mean, we might get there, but it might be the distant future.
Well, drones are happening now.
Drones are happening now, but money to get enough, like... I mean, a soldier is always going to be better in the field than a drone until you get way down there, Right, because the instantaneous like control to have like what a human can do, which is what a robot can do right now.
Well, if you're remote control, I mean, you were controlling the robot.
Yeah, but the problem, what I'm saying is like right now we don't have robots who can like do what everything a soldier does in the field.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
But like we have drones that can bomb.
Yeah.
And then say Iraq, I mean, they can't afford it. But let's say Iraq can make drones that can fight our drones. They can like shoot them down.
Yeah.
Then we got to send drones in that shoot down their drones that shoot drones down. And we got a whole straight up air war going on with no human beings involved. It's all robots fighting air wars.
But then so we're sitting there. We realize this is a waste of our time.
And then right? what?
We gotta and then we send in people on the ground to do what people have been
doing. Well, because we don't have robots to send on the ground. We don't have drones that crawl.
Because there's a, what I'm saying is there's a stalemate up there, basically. So but
it wouldn't be a stalemate.
It would be. You're just saying we send our drones.
Like saying
they send their drones.
That's like saying the air war in World War II was a stalemate because they both had airplanes. There's way more to it than that we both have airplanes. It must be a stalemate.
It might have been if the planes were equally matched, but there's still people on the ground doing their thing.
Yeah, but there were because we had people.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, so just because you both have planes doesn't mean it's a stalemate. You can be better pilots, you can make better planes, you can change your strategy. There's a whole StarCraft game going on up there. It's not just, oh, there are planes, we better change our tactics. No. You can get better planes. I mean, we still want to bomb. The whole point of bombing is
anything with less casualties is good.
The whole point of bombing is you don't want to send people in. You want to keep on bombing. Like, you don't want to risk people because you can risk drones.
But you're still, I mean, people are still being bombed then.
Well, the bombing is different. Yeah. Like, what you're bombing, that's an issue that's not related. Like, if you want to attack civilian targets with your drones, that's a different situation. You know what I mean? Hopefully they're not doing that. I don't want to, you know, we should be targeting military targets. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Should we go to picks? Do you see Interstellar?
Still not yet.
I want to talk about how much you hate it.
You can't with me yet.
Fuck you.
You know what you could do is at the very end of this, I could leave the room.
And you No. Right. We'll wait. We'll give everybody opportunity to. I don't want to. It's still spoiler territory at this point. So we'll let Yuri watch it. Are you gonna watch it?
I'd either watch it when it comes out of theaters in the next month.
Look
or two. Or I don't know what I'm going to go see in the theater. You might have to make me.
You got to go see it. So I can talk about it.
All right.
You're locking me down.
All right. I'll figure it out.
You're blocking me. What are you going to do about it?
I'll figure it out.
Let's go to picks.
All right. Let's go to picks.
Picks of the week. I got some picks for you.
Monument Valley, iOS game.
Monument Valley. Have you seen it? Have you played it?
I've seen it, but I haven't played it. It looks really cute.
It is really... It's cute. Yeah, I mean...
You know, I needed an iOS pick. Is this for me?
It is for you, yeah. I don't want to even say it's really good, because the gameplay is pretty rudimentary. Like, it's a puzzle game where you need to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And you use your finger to move the environment to change it around. But the thing is, the game's so pretty and nice and interesting that it really goes. It really carries. I really love playing it. It makes me feel good. It's really nice. And they know it. It's almost like, in a way... arrogant, because in the game there's always a camera icon, and if you click it, it opens up the camera so you can take a photograph of the game you're playing.
Wow,
that's how arrogant they are. Like, our game looks so good, we're gonna put a camera on your screen, so whenever you find something, goes, that looks great, you can take a photo of it and share it.
I love it though.
I love it because I do it all the time. I've shared it twice.
In the business, we call that swagger.
It is swag as hell. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan. It's $3, I think. They just released an expansion.
Worth it.
Yes. They just released an expansion, which I do not have, because the expansion prompted me to buy the original.
Will you show it to me, so I can...
I'll show it to you.
Right.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Pick number two, Chipotle, in select states, now has a tofu topping.
Are we one of them?
Yes, Minnesota is one of the states. It's called Sofritas, and it's a tofu-based mix. It's tofu seasoned with peppers and, like, grilled
with... Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I had no idea what sofritas
were. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, so they take tofu, they mix it up with some stuff, and they grilled it up and cooked it. So it's like a spicy tofu, and they put it as a topping in your burrito. I've had it twice already.
How is it?
I love it.
What do you compare it to?
You know, here's the thing about a burrito, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a bit Chipotle fan. I ate a lot of Chipotle carnitas all day.
Yeah.
Okay, that's me.
All day!
All day with carnitas.
All day!
Now, before this sofritas thing came out, I would go to Chipotle, I would get both beans, black and pinto, and fajita toppings.
Nice.
And get my burrito figured out. I honestly hardly noticed the meats missing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The burritos are just so full of shit, like, you don't even know what's not in there.
Yeah.
So, when I put the sofritas in there, it really just feels like I put ground beef in there. And I'm not even caring. You know what I mean? Like, it's protein... And it's spicy and it's good.
You know, I've always been a burrito guy.
Yeah.
I recently switched to try the burrito bowl. And I kind of like it.
I like the fajita.
Are we talking about the same thing? I burrito bowls.
I mean, the tortilla is what I meant. I like the
I do too, but I like the control I have over the burrito bowl lately. Because I just like, I like being able to, you know, the problem with the burritos when they make them is that it's too layered, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not every, like, I'll get a bite that's all rice, then a bite that's all good shit.
Let me blow your mind. Life hack, right? What, you take your burrito. No, you take your burrito, turn it 90 degrees. Okay?
Yeah.
Then the layers are horizontal. You get it? Instead of vertical, they're horizontal. Mm-hmm. Then when you bite it, you horizontally cut through all the layers, man. Life hack. Write that down. Yeah, it works. Continue with your bowl discussion, though.
Yeah, so I like the bowls. I like forking. I like picking my bites. I like mixing it all up, so it's really nice and spoon. And I save a lot of calories by not getting the tortilla.
Yeah, but I like those calories. Those are my favorite calories.
Yeah.
It was those tortilla calories.
Well, you're such a thin little boy.
I'm a growing boy.
You have no calories anyway. You need more calories.
Hey, if you're in a state...
I'm a dense man.
If you're in a Sofrito state...
I'm dense.
Look, yeah. I encourage all meat eaters, okay? I know not everybody's a vegetarian. Give a fuck. I don't give a shit.
My question is, do you think it'd be good in a burrito bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be good.
What's it like? What's the texture? Is it like...
Ground beef.
Stringy?
Ground beef. It's ground beef textured.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I would recommend everybody who's a meat eater who likes Chipotle, your state.
Why don't you treat me and take me there?
Please try it.
No.
Just, you know, I know you like your carnitas. I get it. You like your barbacoa. I know what it's like. Just one time.
Listen, Alex Krasny, pay me one time $8.99. Buy me a Sofrito burrito.
You want me to buy you a burrito?
I'm talking to Alex Krasny on here, all right? Alex Krasny, give me a one-time payment of $8.99. Buy me a Sofrito. I will try your recommendation.
Well, right? I don't want to pay for everybody's Sofrito, but
yeah.
I do think that everybody... I think tofu is very underutilized as a protein, mm-hmm. okay? It is good. It can be cooked well.
Yeah.
It can be done bad, yes.
Yeah.
But so can bad steak, you know what I mean? The thing is, tofu can be good. And I think everybody who's... Even if you eat meat and you can get chicken or whatever, you should try... Give tofu a chance.
You cooked me good tofu one time.
I did.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
You know what? I would think give it a chance is what I'm saying.
The thing about tofu is it soaks up basically whatever flavor you put into it. And the texture isn't ideal on its own. You gotta cook it in a way that gives the texture the right texture.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think they succeeded here.
Yeah.
They made a ground beef textured and they made it spicy and seasoned well. And it's you know, you put it in a burrito, you won't even know.
Interesting.
Okay, it's a good burrito. That's how
a
you
good,
gotta know.
A good move by them to compete with Qdoba, who has free guacamole.
It is a great move because I was off Chipotle mm-hmm. because Qdoba was like, "Hey, you." I swear to God,
did you try them?
Yeah, I went there three times since you told me that.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you. Yeah.
I think Chipotle raises the price of guacamole every year.
It's crazy, right?
It's $2 now.
And they always tell me, they're like, you know, it's not free. I'm like, fucking A. Like
it used. Yeah. I swear to God, I don't remember because my memory's bad. It used to be 75 cents once.
It's just so...
Now it's $1.95.
Yeah, it just seems so disproportionate to what you're getting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the burrito's $8.
Yeah.
The guacamole's $2.
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
It's the price of... It's more than a drink. Like, it's...
I know how much guacamole costs, man. Yeah. I go to the store, I can buy avocados. Yeah. There's no magic there.
It's so weird.
They're not exotic. It's not like we're talking about, like, saffron.
It'd be like if it's not any different than being like, you want salsa? $2.
Yeah.
You know, like...
You want the corn?
Yeah.
It's $2 more. What are you doing?
So I never get the guac there. That's why I started getting a Qdoba.
Qdoba's... It's money. But now they got this... So,
yeah, now...
You know what?
Yeah.
I gotta go to Qdoba and say, guys, look, I love you. You gotta get the tofu in here.
Yeah.
You gotta get it.
Plus, they got those queso burritos. They throw the cheese on there. I love that shit, man. Yeah.
You got a pick?
I got my picks. I got... first of all... Going to talk about another podcast. I know, shocking that on our podcast I'm recommending...
Yeah, hey, talk about Joe Rogan.
True. This podcast was originally recommended to my girlfriend by her sister Mallory. My girlfriend Chloe's sister Mallory recommended this to her. It's a podcast called Serial.
Serial with an S.
With an S. Serial.
Like serial number.
Yeah, exactly. It was originally featured on This American Life, which is like an NPR thing. But here's what the podcast is. It's this lady who got like introduced to this case about a high school kid who was convicted for murdering his high school girlfriend. And then she started kind of digging, like the kid's family started telling her about some interesting details and some interesting things. And she started digging. And she kind of started going, I really think this kid is innocent. And so she dug into the case more. And she's like, the podcast is basically her talking about the case and her discoveries about the case and what's been happening. And she does interviews with the person who was convicted in jail, his family. She talks about the prosecutor, the defense attorney, She has interviews with different people from the trial nowadays, the jurors, the, you know, the witnesses, whatever.
Okay.
But it really sounds like this kid is innocent.
Okay.
And, like, he just got fucked.
So, what's the podcast? It's a limited podcast? Like, it's so many episodes?
Well, it's still going on right now. She does an episode every week as she discovers things. Like, she's researching.
Wow.
This is season one. And she's just put out a thing that says, like, if you don't, this is expensive to do. Like, I'm basically, like, we had some support from NPR before, but if you want a season two where I'll find another case and I'll do, like, the same kind of shit.
Is she done with the case?
Not yet. It's still going.
Okay.
But, like, I listened to the first episode and a half right now.
Okay.
And it's really interesting.
How long is the episode?
The first one's an hour, then it's, like, a half hour. Some are 20, some are, like, 40 minutes. Like, they're varying depending on what she finds that week, you know?
Sure.
But it's very well produced. And, like, it's very cool. Like, the first interview, she's like, look, I'm skeptical, too. It sounded to me like, you know, he might have been the killer. But then I started digging, and it's like, no, this sounds weird. The defense attorney was disbarred years after her case. And then two, she died or killed herself, so she can't even be like around to talk about it anymore. But there's always unanswered questions, witnesses who weren't interviewed. The only real case against this kid was his friend who like testified all this weird shit. No physical evidence, nothing that proved he killed her. Just this one kid basically testifying saying, yeah, he told me he was gonna kill her and then I helped him kill her. But no proof.
He helped him.
That's what he claims. But his story's changing. His story changes a bunch. There's no physical evidence. There's no proof.
Sounds like the court system failed hard.
It's kind of shown here. It's very interesting, but it's so cool. It just sucks you in. I recommend it. Listen to the preview. There's like a preview episode. It's like episode zero. Just see if you're interested. It's very short. Check it out. I think you'll be hooked. I'm hooked. It's like a movie. And then my next pick, you might have heard of it. I don't know if you have. It's called XCOM.
XCOM again.
I thought about buying it on iPad for a long time, but I was like, I don't know, Enemy Within's out. I don't really want to buy it on the iPad. And then Enemy Within came out on the iPad like last week. It got released.
Enemy Within iPad.
Out of nowhere. No warning. So I said, fuck it, I'm doing it. So I bought Enemy Within, the expansion pack version of, it's just one purchase expansion pack, Enemy Within of XCOM. And it's so fun. It's great on the iPad. It runs just like it does on your computer, on the Xbox, whatever. You played it. You saw it. What do you think?
It's awesome. It was great. It's Enemy Within on iPad. I mean,
or on your iPhone.
It's or on your iPhone. Too, yeah. It's such a great game. I mean, buy it.
I think it's a little small unless you have like the iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah, I don't have it. So.
Yeah, but I on the iPad and it's cloud, so it goes like back and forth. So I have it on both now. You know, but like it's great. It's really fun. If you've been kind of holding off because you're like, I don't know. This is how you can buy it. Get on your iPad.
Is it on Android? It's on Android too, right?
Might be.
I think so.
I know the older version is. I don't know if the Within version.
Look, if you haven't played XCOM yet, you gotta play
it. You literally have no excuse now.
I love this game so much. It's on every platform. Get it.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good.
That's a good episode.
Yeah, so thanks for watching the podcast. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. I don't want to tell them what my name is. They can find it.
Trial by Yuri, Yuri with a Y. Hit us up with feedback. We haven't gotten an email in forever.
Guys, what's up with that, man?
If you don't have anything to say, it's fine.
Let's get an email going. I mean, tell us what you think.
The email is avdpodcast@gmail.com.
We got to get some emails in there.
Yeah.
Tell us you like Yuri. Tell us you like Alex. Yuri's got a dog. Talk about it.
Yeah.
Get us an email. We like it. Give us some topic suggestions for crying out loud.
We're struggling a little bit. We're getting them in, but you know, it never hurts to.
Don't tell them we're struggling.
Well, I'm struggling. I've been busy.
Don't tell them that.
Well, they can hear it.
Look.
Yeah.
You got to send us news stories that you want us to talk about. You got to send us cool products you want us to check out. You got to send us movies you think we should watch. You got to help us out.
Yeah, interact.
We're only two dudes. If we both have a busy week, we're fucked.
We're two guys. Just two guys.
We're just two dudes.
Yeah. We are talking about possibly updating the setup of a show.
Don't even get into it.
I'll save it. But yeah, hit us up. Give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. We love that shit. People have done it so far.
Thanks so much.
You're awesome.
So yeah.